The Western Australian government is redrafting its heritage protection laws after mining company Rio Tinto destroyed a 46,000-year-old sacred site. However, under these new proposed laws, the Western Australia government still retains the final decision in heritage disputes. A group of Aboriginal Australians, including Nuar human rights lawyer and academic Dr. Hannah McGlade, have made a formal request for the United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination to review this draft cultural heritage bill. Jessica spoke to McGlade, who says the proposed legislation is insufficient protection to the right of culture, which prohibits states from destroying significant Indigenous cultural heritage. Here they are now.
So the Western Australian government is redrafting its heritage protection laws, and a group of Aboriginal Australians, including yourself, have made a formal request to the UN to review this. So what are some of your concerns about this new proposed legislation?
Well, the legislation has been around for a few decades, and what we've seen is the minister has a right to approve the damage or destruction of Aboriginal significant or sacred sites if he believes it's in the state's interests. And we consistently see the minister giving approval to destroy sacred sites. Even sites that are of world significance, such as Juukan Gorge, have been approved under this law. So, of course, this is a clear human rights violation of Indigenous people to, you know, have land, sacred important lands, protected.
In your opinion, does this new draft legislation, does it make any improvements to the protections that are, or the lack of protections, I suppose, that are currently in place?
There has been a more of a focus on consultation, I believe, but at the end of the day, it really is for the traditional owners of the particular land in question that's at risk to be making the decisions. It is up to them whether or not they will give their free, prior and informed consent, as set out in the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, to any damage to those lands. And they're not guaranteed those rights. And with the minister still, we believe, having the final say to destroy sacred sites, then this is not acceptable anymore.
Do you feel like because the government still has that final say that any other promises are sort of empty? Is that really the main thing you'd be looking for, is to have that removed?
There has to be a change around that. And Bunjuma elder Slim Parker, who's leading this communication to the UN Committee on Race Discrimination, has made it very clear when the elders and traditional custodians are saying you must not destroy this site, then they have to be listened to. And we know for so many decades now that that hasn't been the culture or the practice of the West Australian state government.
And can you just speak to, for some of our listeners who might not be aware, the damage that has been caused by the lack of protections currently in place to Aboriginal sites?
Many hundreds of Aboriginal sites have been destroyed or significantly damaged by virtue of this legislation, which authorises that destruction. And that is entirely inconsistent with human rights and Indigenous peoples' human rights that have developed under international law. How can you repair that kind of damage of sites that have such significance? They're tens of thousands of years old. We have seen possibly three sites protected in 30 years. The minister routinely says it's the interests of the mining company. It's about the financial interests of the state. And Aboriginal people don't really enjoy those benefits. Aboriginal people are incarcerated at shocking levels. Aboriginal people are having their children removed at unprecedented levels, living in poverty, dying on the streets here. So this is not our interest in any way, shape or form. And we've had to go to the UN to seek support for recognition of human rights to protect land.
And what has sort of the impact been on the well-being of Indigenous groups, including Aboriginal people in Australia, dealing with this discrimination consistently over so many years?
There's a real suffering that's happening because the land is so important and fundamental to people's culture and spirituality, and people cry for their land when they see the damage that's been done. There's a very deep sadness and heartache. I can't really speak for those people. I know where I come from in an urban setting here in Perth or Borloo, that we tried for many years to protect important sites here, and the government would always allow a big company to develop that site for rich people or something like that. You know, there was always such a battle, and that really denigrated our culture and our history. Some people and elders say that actually this is a genocide that's happening, and it certainly is part of an ongoing forced assimilation.
What kind of protections would you like to see from a heritage protection legislation?
Well, we want to make sure that it's really people who properly speak for country under Aboriginal law and culture that really have the say about the land being protected. And we've got to stop all this destruction of Aboriginal lands and culture in this way. Those are the two main things. We also note that there's no real review of the minister's decisions here, and we don't even have an appropriate body that would review such decisions. So our country was founded on this very racist legal doctrine called terra nullius, and it was said to be a settled country, even though Aboriginal people were here, of course, and did not give consent and resisted. We don't have a treaty. We don't have a Waitangi tribunal, for example, that could be looking at the claims that we legitimately have. So these are real, very deep fundamental problems in Australia today. And the UN Human Rights Treaty Bodies, the Committee on Race Discrimination, has said clearly to the Australian government in its last review that there needs to be a paradigm shift in its relationship with Indigenous people. We need to see structural reform. We need to see legislation that protects Indigenous rights.
And have any groups of Aboriginal Australians or Indigenous groups, have they had discussions with the government? Have they been open to those discussions to inform sort of this legislation at all?
There has been consultations, but the elders and my senior cultural people feel that they have never really had an opportunity to influence the legislation properly. And there was a bush meeting at Yore River in the Pilbara only a few weeks ago where the government was told, you cannot go ahead with this bill. The Kimberley Land Council also held a protest outside Parliament just a couple of weeks ago. So there is a very strong message to the government that they must not proceed in the face of significant opposition, and we need to see a better law here.
And are you hopeful that having the support from the UN will cause change within the government's decisions, or based on their track record, I suppose, what do you sort of expect the outcome to be from having this backing from the UN?
It's important that the West Australian government understand international human rights law, that we are a signatory to, we are bound to respect, and you know, not to be unaware or act in a disregard manner to those important laws and standards. So of course we hope for a better law, an improvement to the human rights situation in relation to Aboriginal lands and heritage protection. And that fundamentally will lead to a better relationship as well between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people.
That was Jessica speaking to Nuwa human rights lawyer and academic Dr. Hannah McGlade about heritage protection laws in Western Australia.